9:30 Tuesday morning. That means it's time for your weekly therapy session known as KCIM Sports Rewind. Yes, for the next half hour, we're going to fill your head with plenty of useless information, so get ready. Enjoy that.
You know, you set me up again, but I'm not going to throw him under the bus this week. I'll be nice.
You know, he was in the studio this morning. We're talking, of course, about Jeff Honnold. And he goes, man, last week I'm listening, it was like 3 seconds and you're throwing me under the bus in the show. And I said, that's Blankman. I mean, that was him. And then he was mad at me for not defending him. Oh, well, you know.
That's why I said, I'll be nice this week and you know, at least wait till we're 2 or 3 minutes into the show.
He brought me a very nice retirement gift.
He did, yes.
So I would read it on the air, but I don't want to be escorted out of the building after being fired.
Yeah.
So,
too bad he's 6 years too early on that retirement gift, right?
No, he's right on time. Right on time with that one. So, thank you, Jeff, once again, for the nice gift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was thoughtful in a way.
In one way, it was thoughtful. In another way, it was vulgar.
Yeah.
That's the perfect gift right there.
And does that just...
Hallmark, you need to learn a lesson from Jeff Honnold.
He should start writing for him.
I would love to read those cards. So I would love to send those cards out, too. So,
anyway,
let's get started here. Fall sports season underway, and we're going to be talking first week of high school football. We already had some volleyball on the air. Some cross-country tennis has already been going. But we're going to start with the Iowa State K-State game over in Ireland. You know, it was not a great game for Iowa State,
right?
But to get that win was absolutely huge.
Yeah, it sounds like first half for both teams a little sloppy. The weather and the field conditions sounds like weren't great. Plus, it's game one. You have all that travel. You know, people forget you flew, probably 16 hours or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a different country. But it sounds like the second half settled in and was one heck of a good football game.
Yeah, there were some crazy turnovers in that first half. Punts that were mishandled and just everything kind of went wrong for the team. Second half settled down and played pretty well. But I tell you what, I really got to appreciate Matt Campbell's call. Fourth down and third with about 2.5 minutes to go at the K-State 16. You can kick the field goal, go up by six, but instead he decides not to. Mason, you agree with that?
I mean, you look at it, and I thought it was a pretty gutsy play to be able to do it. But then when you look at the play kind of set up and Carson Hansen leaking out to left with no one within probably 5 yards to be able to touch him, then it's like, well, I think you called the right play. But if that goes wrong, then it's like, well, I think you called the wrong one.
So. Well, Taylor Mauser, the offensive coordinator, apparently called two plays and let Rocco Becht pick one, the one that he wanted to run, and here it is.
And now Rocco takes the snap, looks left, fires that way. It's caught by Hansen, and he fights for the corner, spins off the tackler, and gets to the goal line. Touchdown, Carson Hansen!
Well, it was later reviewed and taken away because, it was like a bang-bang play. This forearm did hit the turf, and the ball was short of the goal line, so which screwed up the Vegas bettors.
Right.
The over-under was 50, and with that touchdown would have been over, but without it, it was the under. So that was it. But, again, Matt Campbell just said, you know what, we're inside the one-yard line. Just kneel on it. Yep. They don't have any more timeouts. Game over.
Yeah. You know, the risk you run there would be fumbling the snap or something like that, which rarely happens. But, you know, I was talking to some coaches on Sunday, and they even talked about the fact that, you know, if you score there and you leave too much time, you never know. K-State had just scored quick on the possession before. If they score quick again, they get the onside kick, which doesn't happen often. But it's the risk, I think, as a coach, mm-hmm. you don't want to take. You put it in your offense's hands, and you just let them snap it, kneel on it, and run the clock out.
I think that's a case where it's a first game out, right?
Yeah, I mean, at that point, you'd rather just see yourself let the clock run down. If you score there, like Jeff said, then all these possibilities, but you kind of close the door on all those possibilities with kneeling the ball at the goal line.
Yeah, you like your defense, but it's your first game defense.
Yes.
It's not a veteran defensive team, you know, that you know, maybe 5 or 6 games in, you trust them to stop that.
And you certainly hope a coach isn't out there looking at the over-under going, ooh, I need points here.
Yeah. I don't think that was happening.
No, not at all. I'm not trying to say.
Yeah.
But, you know, for all the bettors out there that were probably throwing their phones or whatever, whatever while they were tracking the game. I'm sure they were probably hoping that they'd score there late in the game.
Well, see, now Iowa State has their real test, the USD Coyotes, coming into Hilton, Jack Trice Stadium. My Coyotes, they're probably going to get run over here, but they're a good program. I mean, they're a good, solid program out of the Missouri Valley, and they've given Iowa and Iowa State fits over the years.
They have. It'll be interesting. You know, you got to fly back and everything, so what's the wear and tear going to be after, you know, being on the road, and especially in Ireland, it can be difficult maybe for that second week game.
It's a trap game, Mason, you think? I mean, you're coming off a big win over a ranked opponent. Now you got this opener. I mean, it is the home opener, though.
Yeah, I've seen some times where Iowa State will walk into Jack Trice and they'll play a team that's a little bit lower than them, but I feel like some years Iowa State plays with teams that are lower than them, and some years they just kind of blow them out. So it'll be fun to see for sure.
Yeah, I'm thinking you and I. A lot of years. They went in there and gave Iowa State a major tassel.
Well, I like how, I know we're talking Iowa State, but I like how the Hawkeye fans says, well, Iowa State does this. Not like the Hawkeyes have never struggled against a lower tier team.
That's never
at
happened.
At home in week one either.
Yeah. SDSU ring a bell there, Iowa, or North Dakota State.
Or North Dakota State or any of those.
I have no clue what you guys are talking about with that.
Live in denial. That's fine.
And I can't say much. Nebraska's blown some games against smaller teams here in the last decade. On their season opener, so it happens.
Talk about the opener coming up this next week, and there's a huge matchup. It's Texas number one preseason against number three Ohio State. I believe I saw a stat. It's the only time a number one team has gone into their first game as an underdog.
Wow,
because they're playing at Ohio State.
Right, I did not realize that. You know, what will Ohio State be like after, you know, winning the national title last year, new quarterback, you know?
Well, it's not
stuff,
like they're a slouch. They're number three in the country.
Yep, absolutely. But preseason rankings to me always don't mean a whole lot. How many times have we seen teams start the year in the top five and finish the year not even ranked?
Yeah.
You know, so, but Ohio State's not going to be one of those, and neither than Texas. But I love matchups like this. I wish everybody played games like this early in the season. I missed the days of, you know, you would challenge yourself with two or three tough non-conference games. Nowadays, it's all about getting the wins and scheduling as light of a schedule in a way and one challenge. So it's nice to see some of these teams scheduling big boys, you know, early on. So
apparently, we're being asked to move on from the blah blah Cornhusker Cyclone rambling this morning. So, a listener that shall remain nameless for us. But it's going to be fun. College football is back once again, and we've got plenty more of it on the way this weekend. Should be great weather, too.
It should be.
Loving this. Week one of high school football. Are you kidding me? What was the forecast temperature for Friday? Upper 70s, and maybe Friday night.
79.
Low around 56.
Yeah.
I don't ever remember any Friday being that good for week one.
No, I don't either. The only thing I'll say, and this is just me being kind of soft with weather, the 80, you know, the 76, I'll be fine. But when that sun goes down, that 56 is going to be cool by the time the game gets over. You might go from wearing shorts and t-shirt to having a hoodie on by the time the game's over.
Yeah, it's going to feel like mid to late season.
Yeah, I'm not ready for that yet.
Not quite anyway, but we got some really good games coming up to kick off the season. Carroll's on the road at Gilbert. They've got high aspirations for the season. Yep. Kemper goes in ranked number one. They're hosting Cherokee. And then that ESAC-IKM Manning matchup is looking really interesting.
It is. I just talked with Coach McCarville here this morning. I got Coach McCullough coming up later on today. You know, the last eight matchups have been decided by pretty much 14 points or less, most of those by, you know, 7 points or less. So that's been a really good game. I'm really intrigued by that Kemper-Cherokee game because Cherokee is supposed to be outstanding this year as well. And, you know, so that'll be a good test, really good test for Kemper to open things up.
What games are you looking at, Mason?
I was talking with Sean Burks this morning and talking about the Remsen-St. Mary's and Audubon game. Last year, Remsen graduating their entire offense and all but one of their defense. But talking to Coach Burks, he thinks that he said the word reload, like we like to use, that he said their JV was really good and that they're going to reload and have a really good quarterback coming in. But he thinks that they're going to be really high this year, and he thinks that they can kind of go out and make some noise.
I think Arvida-Boyer Valley also could be a really interesting game. The last couple of years, they've kind of battled for a playoff spot, you know, in the same district. Now they're meeting in a non-district matchup early on, and I think that it could still be an awfully entertaining football game.
Yeah, Arvida's an interesting team. I mean, they've been kind of on that bubble a little bit the last couple of years, but definitely with the expectations this year.
Yeah, made a nice run last year late and got into the postseason and picked up a nice win down at Fremont Mills, almost won down at Lenox. mechanics. I think they're coming into this season with an awful lot of confidence.
So. I know, Mason, you're going to be here on the Scoreboard show coming up on Friday night. So it's going to be interesting to see those scores rolling in.
Yeah, I think a lot of great games this week. And then you look at some of the other games in the district with some of the teams that they have. I think that this week's going to kind of be one of those big weeks where you see some teams get out there and show what they're going to be about this year, and some teams kind of get off to a slow start.
Yeah, so well, it's going to be fun. It's ready to roll here, week one. We're going to talk a little bit about volleyball here coming up. And up next, you guys had a conversation with Michael Barda, and he is back. Well, he's back in town. He never did coach or anything like that, or even teach at Kemper, right?
Right. No.
So this is his first go around for Kemper, but boy, brings that ton of experience. What's the one thing you guys took out of that interview, Jeff?
For me, it was how humble he was. He was very quick to credit other coaches, the kids that he had coached at Johnston, and everybody else that kind of helped him have success, and really kind of said, it was not me. He was extremely humble. You would think a guy that had, sometimes guys that have, that much success, there's a little bit of, attitude with it, but not with him. He was probably one of the most humble people I've ever talked to.
How about you, Mason? What'd you take out of it?
Kind of to piggyback off that, I mean, when he was talking about being a co-head coach with Riley Bach, with a guy that is the name of Michael Barda, what he's done with the game of baseball down at Johnson, I mean, you'd expect him to come in and be like, well, I can take the responsibilities or whatever. But he said, whatever Riley did last year is all his responsibility. I'm just going to come in and I'm going to play my role.
All right. So I changed my mind. We're talking nothing but Cornhuskers and Cyclones when we come back after we talk to Michael Barda next on KCIM Sports Rewind.
As the athletes at your house prepare for hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
Back here on KCIM Sports Rewind on this Tuesday morning, we are joined now in studio by an extremely special guest, Michael Barda, former Kemper grad, longtime baseball coach down at Johnston, coming back home to Carroll and to coach over and teach at Kemper. So, Michael, appreciate you joining us, and can I say welcome back?
Yeah, thanks for having me. It is so good to be back in God's country.
Yeah.
It is great.
You love it here, don't you?
Carroll, Iowa is special. And not, I'm not just saying that because of Kemper. Like, just anybody that lives around this area, I come back, it just, one of the last drives back from Johnston had the most beautiful sunset in the world driving back. And it was like almost like a sign, hey, you're back. Let's go. And not that I'm a big deal to be back. I'm not. I'm just another guy. But, like, it's just a special place to grow up, special place to raise a family. And, man, it's, in my opinion, way better than the city. So there you go.
And I'm getting the sense that's part of the reason you're back. You were in the city for a long time. I think you wanted a change, and coming back home was the type of change I think it sounded like you needed.
Yeah, I think just family's important, and we have a lot of family back here. And it's just, life is a great pace here. It's not slow. It's not fast. It's just the perfect pace to really enjoy your everyday. And sometimes in the city you get caught up, I think, going really fast. I think, I'm starting to sound old, but every phase of life, like maybe there's a right place for you. And at one time, living down in Des Moines was great for me. But now coming back to Carroll, oh, couldn't be better.
I don't think people realize the amount of work you had to put in to get Johnston to where you guys were, the state titles and a top team every year. That's a lot of time, and it's a grind, I would imagine.
Oh, big time grind. I had a slew of assistant coaches that definitely did that with me. So it was definitely not just me. And man, I was blessed with good kids.
Right.
And a lot of people look maybe at our success and say, good talent. Yeah, we had talent, no doubt. But good kids. And so I was able to take good kids that wanted to work, and we did. We grinded, and it was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun. Good experiences in my life, but I definitely ready to move to a new challenge and raise my family in Carroll, Iowa, at Kemper Catholic, no doubt.
Was it a tough choice, or how much thought process went into the decision to leave what you had built there and come home?
Yeah, I think it's always been on the table for our family.
Right.
We've thought about it a couple other times. The timing the timing was right. We've had a couple losses in our life. Maybe don't need to talk about this on the radio,
right.
But like I lost my daughter. It's yep. very hard on my wife and I a couple of years ago. And then my wife lost her dad and her mom right after that. And so I think the loss gave us maybe a little push to like, let's change something up.
Right.
And I have a lot of family in Carroll. So being able to be close to a bunch of family, get a little more support, I think it's going to be the perfect fit.
What were some of the early conversations like with the folks at Kemper when the jobs became open that you're going to be filling about you wanting to come back and expressing your interest? Because I'm sure they probably had to be fairly excited to get you back into the fold.
Well, I think where I'm lucky with the Kemper jobs is I have family that work at Kemper. My sister just started working there. She was
right.
a pharmacist in town for a number of years, and she wanted to go into teaching and be with kids. And so she started there. My mom obviously was... I always say like my mom's kind of like a Hall of Fame teacher.
Right.
So she was in Kemper forever. My Uncle John is the president at Kemper and he does just a phenomenal job. And so I have family all over the place.
Yep.
I've had cousins teach or aunts teach there. So I am lucky to be able to have a little bit of a foot in the door and they're trusting me to try to do my best in the classroom for them and also as a coach.
And you talk about kind of those cousins there and some of the family as well. One of those cousins that we talked about a little bit, Riley Bach. What's
yes.
the kind of conversations been like with him ever since coming back?
Well, Riley and I have shared this like deep baseball connection forever, this love for baseball. And us family get-togethers, what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about baseball.
Right.
And he actually, before he started with Kemper, coached our Johnston Legion teams.
Yep.
And so he would come down to Des Moines and... he coached one of our Legion teams specifically with Griffin Hatton, a buddy of ours. They coached him to a regional and were a couple runs away from playing on ESPN. And so we've always had a close relationship. And when he got the head job at Kemper and we were thinking about moving up, I just asked him, like, what if we could co-head coach? And I don't want to step on his toes because he's earned putting a lot of years in and learning the game. I mean, he would be at the same clinics I would go to. Like, we would get together to go. And so now we have two heads. We're going to put our heads together and really try. I think if you're going to go after something, we go all in. And so me and him are all in on making Kemper baseball the best it could possibly be, from a kindergartner who plays in his backyard all the way through till they graduate. And even after they graduate, staying in touch, growing an alumni base. We want to make this thing the best program on this side of the state, no question.
You and I and Mason were talking before we went back on the air during the commercial break about some plans you have, you know, to try and rebuild baseball here in the area. We'll talk about that in a second. But one thing I want to go back to an early comment you made here in that last answer, the love for baseball. Where did that come from?
You know, it's probably from my mom and dad. And the lack of technology, right? Like I was out to eat the other day with my wife I looked at booth to my left, booth to my right. And I see like first graders, like on a device, like playing.
Yeah.
Like I didn't have that. This is what I had. I had WGN.
Yes.
And I had the Chicago Cubs. And it was every day, 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock game.
Yep.
I would go to my mom's classroom as school ended. She would have the game on, it'd be halfway through, or it'd be just starting. And if it was just starting, we stayed there till 6. We watched the whole thing. Every weekend, Dad had it on. He'd be in the backyard with me every minute he had outside of work. And I just love the game. And the thing about baseball that people do not realize and don't talk about enough, I am a short, very unathletic human being. And I was a decent baseball player. Now,
right.
Yeah. By the numbers, if you look up average in the dictionary, you'll see my face. But like a guy like me can make it. And I
right.
coach a number of kids at Johnston where size, weight, sometimes even athletic ability didn't matter. You can make it in baseball. And when I say make it, you can go live your college dream. You can play after that with all types of different builds and different
right.
athletic abilities. And so baseball is an open door to kids being as successful as they want to be. And I got to kind of live that. By falling in love with it. And so I think because of that, I till the day I die, baseball will be on my mind.
How do you convince a kid? You always hear everybody say you failed about 70% of the time at the plate. If you hear a 300 hitter, you're a pretty good hitter. How do you convince a young kid that you're going to get out 7 times out of 10, but that still makes you a good ball player?
You can't let them be soft. I'll tell you that. We got to make some tough kids.
Yeah.
The high school level is what I know best.
Yep.
And so the way I answer that question is, well, practice better mimic that environment.
Right.
And so you better have a practice that's going to challenge them.
Yep.
Because if you don't, they're going to get in the game and expect success all the time. That's not realistic in our game.
So let's talk about what you want to do with the youth programs and the plans you got. I don't know how in-depth you want to go because you're just still probably working on some of those. But you can sense the love of the game and the direction you're wanting this whole area to kind of go.
Well, yeah, I think Riley Bach, who I'm co-head coaching with, is going to help me a lot with that. We just had one of our first meetings the other day, and I would expect us to meet way too often. but I also had the opportunity last night. We had our Kemper kind of celebration night to kick off the year, which was, an awesome event, especially for my kids. And I got the opportunity to talk to some parents, and what I need to do now is get a really good feel for how can I come in and help, like whether it's youth baseball or even the high school program, and just be a service to people in the best way possible. But I did talk to Riley. We've already had a couple good conversations about, what are some options we can do to help youth coach. I know one thing we want to do as soon as that calendar flips to 2026, we want to get our baseball staff together at Kemper and possibly with some outside people and run a big youth coaches clinic or parents clinic where you could come and hear some of the newest ways we're teaching things. And we'll be researched. Believe me, whatever we teach, we'll make sure is on par with what's going on in the baseball community. And try to present some really good information that could relate to all levels. And I think it starts with parents and youth coaches, and then we can build from there. And obviously, in the end, as a coach, I'll probably try to get to some youth practices and work them out.
You're going to be co-head coaching with your cousin and Riley. You guys almost seem more like friends than cousins. What's that like to get to work with somebody that I think you have such a great bond with?
And we both play baseball at BV.
Yes.
We're BV Beavers. We played for Coach Edie up there, Coach Sanka. And so, we've always shared the love. We've always shared different experiences. We try to go to the same clinics. Anytime I'm at a clinic, I'm going to invite Riley and vice versa.
Right.
And so it's led to a lot of really good conversations, and those will probably get deeper and deeper as now I'm in town.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking forward to it. And from what I hear, our staff is a great staff as well. So those baseball conversations are going to make my day. That's what I eat, sleep, and breathe, man. I got to be able to have those. Otherwise, I don't know how I survive. So, it's going to be great.
What are you all going to be teaching, and what's going to be the role at Kemper?
I'm going to teach business education, different starts of business classes like marketing, intro to business, but then as of now, only just coaching baseball, and that's probably a good start for me. Again, I would, faith, family first,
right?
And so I hope in the fall here I get a lot of time to spend with my family and help even my kids be okay with the change in their life, but baseball will come around that corner, especially when the calendar flips, and it's going to be awesome.
You mentioned family. Marty, your uncle, I consider him a good friend. I don't get to talk to him much because, he never seems to sit and stop anywhere. But he's an excellent basketball player. Do you ever get out on the court with him? And give me some secrets of what I can do so the next time I can hang with him.
A lot of uncles, a lot of cousins.
Yeah.
What I'll say to that is we've always played family basketball games, and it started – I remember them from when I came out of the womb.
Yep.
And they were always chippy and intense. And they wouldn't let me play till I was in like eighth grade. I would literally go for every holiday, every time I was in Carroll, and I'd stand on the side of the court for 3 hours. Maybe I know, nope, you're too young, young.
Yeah.
And but then I earned my keep. I got in, and I caught a bunch of elbows. And I grew up real fast. And I think, from what I hear once in a while, Marty, John, and those guys still get out there. And
yep.
And still play. I need to get back involved. I man, I haven't played in a while. I'm sure they'd kick my butt at age 60 or however old they are now.
Yeah, I played with them probably 15 years ago. We'd get together on Sundays and do a little running up and down the court, and never knew, you know, until I started playing with them, you know, that 35-foot jumper that they'd have, it was hard to defend.
It's like automatic.
It is.
It's like, yeah, I swear they go home and practice at night. I don't understand.
Yeah, and then they have one brain because they're always thinking the same thing. They'd cut one place and throw the ball before they'd even cut, and it, yeah, it was tough, but it was a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, and they let you know when you're not moving, picking, screening, you know, like they'll let you know. So yeah, it's had a great family to grow up in, I tell you what. But same time, got my share elbows, share bruises. Jeez, man, they still give it to me.
What's that do though for you? You played multiple sports, you know, and you're probably sure you're wanting the Kemper baseball kids to be active, you know, at a school the size of Kemper and most of the schools we cover. You have to have your athletes participating for your programs to be good, and one bleeds into another when you're having success.
Yeah, so I think when you talk about multi-sport athletes, we need to break it down more than that, and it's really about we need our kids to be strong. Your kids to be able to be athletic, like a power speed type
right.
area. And then you need your kids to be skilled. Well, okay, let's talk about the fall. If all my baseball players are out for football, there's no workout that I can cook up in the weight room or on a field to mimic the athleticism that they have to use in a football practice.
Right.
So, like, they're growing as an athlete in that football practice every day. They're running, jumping, cutting. They're lifting. With
yep.
Steinkamp, who is the man. I got to go to his football practice. It was a show. He's really
oh,
good.
Oh, yeah,
they
absolutely.
Had a great staff. Number one.
Yes, right? number one in the right preseason.
So, and
yeah.
I know now, you know, just I know they have a brutal first couple weeks.
Maybe yes.
In general, their schedule, you know, I try to talk to those guys a lot already. I want to talk football, you know.
But yeah.
To your point, they're – like, there's no better workout I can cook up than a football practice.
Right.
And so it's wonderful that they do that. Now, we do have to build skill around those sports, and we will. And we'll work with kids individually. Like,
right.
Hey, you want to come in at 8 and throw a little bit? Sure. Yeah. And, you know, the other thing, too, is I was got a number of rules, like October, November, December are really kind of no contact months for baseball.
Right.
So let's go play football, play hoops.
Right.
And go win. Learn to win.
Yep.
Winning is a habit. So if you're never playing another sport, how do you know how to win?
Right.
The other thing, too, I'm talking too much, but, you know, let's say you're a really good baseball player and you're an average football player. There's something to be said to be a bench guy.
Right.
And, like, push the other guys in front of you, support
yep.
your teammates, and learn what it's like to be on both sides of that. To
right.
be a stud and to be on the bench. And I hope we get the same on our end with baseball. I hope we get some random kids out that,
yep.
you know, maybe haven't been out in the past. Some good
yeah.
athletes.
Yeah, you mentioned it. I think the different roles you can have on the different teams and the different sports makes you better in the sport that you really want to excel in.
Absolutely. And helps you just have a calmer mind and just realize there's a bunch of different roles to fill on a team.
Any final thoughts on being back home and being a part of the Kemper baseball staff, you know, starting next summer?
I just appreciate this community. There's a lot of good people. Good people all living in the same spot, you
right.
know, and so it's been great to be back already, to hear people be positive and loving and serve each other. I mean, the Kemper, even staff, I mean, nobody wants to go to staff meetings, let's be
right.
honest, but it's been like fun,
right.
Great leadership. I remember my experience at Kemper Catholic High School was, I cherish that. It
right.
was a wonderful, wonderful 4 years. And, I hope that I'm able to give that same experience to students and my own kids.
Well, I would tell you what, I'm glad to have you back in town. Looking forward to getting to work with you here in the future. The other thing is, as I told you when you walked in, I love the sweatshirt, folks. He's wearing a Husker. We can't have enough Husker fans
GBR,
in Carroll.
Big red.
Absolutely. So welcome back, man. I appreciate you joining us here today and looking forward to catching up with you on a regular basis.
Guys, thank you so much. Appreciate
you bet.
It.
Michael Barta joining us here. We'll be back to wrap up KCIM Sports Rewind coming up next right here on KCIM.
It's the Market on 30 Sack of the Game, announced every Tuesday morning between 9:30 and 10 on KCIM Sports Rewind. Sports director Jeff Blankman will announce the high school football Sack of the Game, and you can take home a sack of free groceries from the Market on 30 when you register in-store.
All right, we got to wrap this up quick. We got 25 seconds to go here. So
we're going over.
Let's see if we can do this. You want the trivia question of the week?
Whatever you want to do.
This one's just for Blankman because I feel like, Mason, you already know this one. Hawks have the vaunted University of Albany coming in week one. What's their mascot?
I honestly don't know. Is it the Kangaroos or something like that?
Nope, not the Kangaroos.
Yeah, I know they're in New York.
I'll give you one more guess.
All right. I'm going to say the Catamounts, but I know that's Vermont.
Yeah, that's Vermont. All right, tell us what it is.
I have no clue either.
You have no clue either? I know something both of you don't know because I just looked it up five minutes ago.
I knew they played Division I basketball because they push for the NCAA tournament every now and then. I didn't know that they played Division I in football.
They're the Albany Great Danes.
The Great Danes.
The Great Danes.
I'd have never guessed that.
Yeah. So you're heading down Thursday night. Yep. Nebraska going to open up their season at Arrowhead Stadium, taking on Cincy. Cincinnati. Do you feel about that one?
Nervous as all get out. There's been some national hype for the Huskers this year, but until I see it out on the field, we haven't been very good for a while. So until I see it on the field, but hopeful and excited, excited to get down and watch them play.
All right. So quick picks here at the end of the program here. Some really good games. Top 10 matchups in college football. Let's get your predictions here. Texas at Ohio State. What do you think?
Texas?
Ohio State.
I would take Ohio State on that one. Number 6, Notre Dame at number 10, Miami.
Notre Dame
here too. LSU, number 9 at Clemson, number 4.
I'm going to go Clemson. I think they're going to be good this year.
I'm going to go Clemson, too.
Yep. I just don't like Brian Kelly and LSU first game out of the chute. So the only one we disagree on is the Texas-Ohio State one.
Right.
So there you go. Those are some great matchups. And by the way, just got a comment, great interview from you two guys with Michael Barda. It was great. I mean, very open guy.
Yes.
Very fun to interview.
Yes.
Wore his Nebraska red to the interview, you said.
Yeah, and actually had a Nebraska
Mason shaking
hoodie
his head.
On. Yeah, so it was a lot of fun. Yeah. Looking forward to getting to work with him. I am.
Yeah, absolutely. So catch a podcast of this episode of Rewind available here on the website and the mobile app coming up here in just a couple of moments.